I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Thursday, April 11th, 2013 to order. We took an extra long time this morning to go through our preliminary study meeting, which we are trying to do prior to each meeting, which will give us time to go over the agendized items and accounts payable minutes and so forth for the day. And we had a larger than anticipated accounts payable stack to go through, so we have spent some time going through that. I will add, for those who have missed it the last few weeks, we have added a part of our regular agenda at the beginning, which says commission remarks. Any commissioner that wishes to make a remark about anything, whether it be a meeting that's upcoming or personal feeling, whatever, may do so. It's not a debatable issue, so we're not going to discuss county business when one of us does make those remarks, but we do have that on there. And so at this time, I will ask any of the commissioners if they have any remarks before the day's business. I don't have any. Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve March 28th minutes. April 3rd minutes and April 4th minutes. I left out April 1st because I wasn't here.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve prior commission minutes of March 28th, April 3rd, and April 4th. Discussion. And that is as corrected?
As corrected.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Mr. Strahan, entertain a motion to approve commission minutes from April 1st.
Motion to approve minutes of April 1st.
I will second. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable. Get your glasses.
Can you read it now?
Okay.
Move to approve accounts payable checks numbers 333218 through 333316, 333317. Through 333340, through 33, and then checks 333342 through 333352, checks number 333353 through 333362,
and warrant number.
I'm trying to find it.
Upper right.
Warrant is 5770.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks number 333218 through 333316, 333317 through 340, through 333340, 333342 through 333352, and 333353 through 333362, and warrant number 5570.
No, 5770.
5570, sorry. Looking at too many numbers. Discussion.
Is there a check that's being held because of a question of information?
Yes, his motion excluded.
Excluded that number? Okay.
Yes. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you. give that to Dan.
How can we have 2 1 week and 3?
We only need 2, but that's all right. Tammy?
Good morning.
Rick. It's liquor and whistle. I forgot we were going to talk about process once we got into these. As soon as we have the 911, if we could just continue that discussion. Thank you, Rick. I apologize.
On March 21st of this year, we opened 4 of the responses for the RFQs that we sent out for a 911 consulting or firm or consultant. And you asked us to get together and make our recommendation from the advisory board as to which company would be their preference. And Doug is here as vice chair of the advisory board, and Doug Baker. And he would like to make that recommendation now.
Good morning, Mr. Baker.
Good morning. After extensive review, work by subcommittee, and then review by the full committee, we've decided that AECOM from Lynchburg, Virginia, is our recommendation to be the consultant.
AECOM.
It's AECOM Technical Services Incorporated is the complete name.
Could I look that up? Thank you. For the edification of those who don't know what we're doing and what we had asked the 911 board to make recommendations regarding, would you guys capsulize for us what this is in regards to?
How much are you wanting me to review?
Well, just give us a summary of what this is for those who...
Okay. We 2 years ago, we approached the commission with concerns about the 911 funding running out. At that point, the commission appointed Dave Woolery as a consultant to bring all the entities together in the county, so that we could make some decisions and get on the same page as to where 911 was going to be going. After extensive meetings and going back and forth and all that, then we realized at that point that we came back to the commission and said we need to hire an outside firm that can come in and do an exhaustive study of all the ins and outs of all the entities within Taney County as far as the emergency services go, law enforcement, EMS, and fire, and determine if there is a need and a cost savings by consolidating 911 dispatching. We're mainly looking at this as a cost savings and as well as an efficiency issue since the 911 funds are running low, or are projected to run out to where they are not supporting 911 in the county, and that, I believe, is within the next 2.5 years. 2016 is kind of the date that at the current funding, as taxes for landlines continue to diminish, that date is a movable target as people continue to drop landlines.
Gentlemen, do I hear a motion to accept the recommendation from the 911 Advisory Board?
I make a motion to accept the recommendation of AECOM Technical Services Incorporated as recommended by the Advisory Board.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the opinion from the 911 Advisory Board awarding the bid to AECOM Technical Services Incorporated from Lynchburg, Virginia. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. My suggestion would be that with the proposal that was presented, our next step probably would be for 911 to get with Mr. Cotty sitting here and let him review or work with an agreement by and between the county and this company to provide the services. And you guys could work that out as to where we're headed from the 911 Advisory Board. Is that all right, Mr. Cotty?
Sure.
Excellent. Yep. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you,
Sheriff. Rick, if you could come back in for a brief session regarding accounts payable. Joanna, if you guys would just give us a brief summary of how accounts payable works, the process, when a bill is submitted, where it goes, your role, the clerk's role, the treasurer's role, our role, it would help guide us because we've had some questions raised recently.
Okay. I particularly like to see all bills, receipts, when they're given to an office, I like to see those payment requests initiated by the office that actually incurred the bill. Sometimes we have those overlapping things where it comes from different departments, but that is the responsibility of the department. It's their responsibility to watch their budget, and so we like to have that initiated in that department. They can initiate on smaller amounts. They can just initiate a payment request on anything over $1,000 now, over $200 now. Anything over $200, they have to initiate a purchase order. Those come through our office electronically. I check to make sure that there's money in that budget line or money in that budget. If there's money in that budget, then I approve that and we go ahead. From there, once the payment request is made, they will attach all the paperwork that needs to be put with that, comes to Joanna in Joanna's office, and she takes over from there. So
I input the bills in. I process them through. I give the checks to Melanie. The bills go to Rick for Rick to look through. Then they didn't go upstairs for you guys to look through. After they're approved, they go back to the clerk's office, and she actually does go through each of them and signs off on them, too. She wanted to be able to do that since she prepares the financial statement.
And then they come back to the commission?
No. Once you guys approve them, then you guys stamp that you've approved all of them. They come back to me. I send them to the clerk's office for her to stamp, and then they come back to me, and I file.
Somewhere in there they get paid, though.
Oh, yes.
When you guys approve them, when you guys approve, like on Mondays, when you guys approve those, then Melanie sends the checks out.
I guess the most notable question I have is we were faced on March 11th with what this horrific article was in the paper about yesterday, and that was the jail bond payment.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of it getting to us came for approval out of the jail bond fund.
Correct.
During preliminary discussion, we discussed that. I walked over to the treasurer's office and told the treasurer that we didn't have money in that fund, so we would change that to a fund that we did have money in,
mm-hmm.
which we did. And that when the sales tax does come in, we in fact will reimburse that, either by transfer, journal entry, whatever you all recommend on how to get that done. My question is, had we approved that in the fund that it was in, what would have happened? Would we have written a check? And if we had written a check, what were the consequences if there's no money in the fund?
Had it been approved, we would have had to have done a transfer to come through there first. I mean, we can do the transfer before we write the check out of there, so we could have transferred money in there from any of the accounts that we have money for that you guys have control over.
Then the three major accounts that we would have had a choice, in my opinion, would be General County Revenue, Road and Bridge, or Sewer District. Those are the ones we have the
most funds. I agree with you. Yeah. Those are the ones.
And had we transferred it from General County Revenue, or it would have probably impacted what our year-end figure is going to be because we're so tight, it would have shown as an expense.
It would show as an expense.
And if it shows as an expense out of the sewer district fund, it really has no impact because there's millions of dollars in the sewer fund, most of which we're holding to make bond payments long-term, I think. But I mean, it won't impact that budget. This is not aimed at you. We want to know what our process is when it comes to us, because if we approve something and it gets written, I'm pleased to hear that then the double check comes in. So
if we had got to that point, and I think you and I talked about that before, we would have had to done a transfer before we wrote the check.
Okay.
And it originated in the county clerk's office. And that line is put on there because that's where the budget that was set up.
Right. Well, this is a new year.
Right.
We're now in compliance with when the fund was set up. It said to create a new fund. Mm-hmm. We've done that now for this year. And the problem is that there are no funds in the fund until the sales tax is received on a monthly basis. And I understand that. You understand that.
It's going to happen every year.
Every year. Every year. So we're going to have to provide monies from some fund to cover that payment. And we will. We have to. So I appreciate it. Did you have something, Donna?
If I could. I just would kind of like to go over what the process was in prior years, because we had always taken that money out of general county revenue in the past. And so I don't know how we can say we didn't have any money available when we never have any sales tax to make that payment. We always take it out of general revenue.
Well, let me help you with that, because we had no monies available within the fund that was created for the expenditure of the intent of the sales tax was passed by the people in compliance with Missouri law. We were, whether we like it or not, Missouri law says you'll create an additional fund. We did that this year.
Okay.
And I've talked with auditors and have discovered what I learned many years ago. You create the fund. And then you have to be creative in how you make your payments, because the sales tax doesn't come in January. You don't receive $2 million in January. We receive whatever it is, $80,000 a month, or it's an eighth of a cent. It's not a half a cent. So I'm aware of that. I was just really putting that out there so people would know.
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot and trying to remember what the process has been over the years, and I had several questions that came up in my mind last night. And one of them was, when we started generating sales tax for the judicial fund, I don't think the payments started at the same time, did they? And if not, then where was that money put? And how? And if we have money left over from the judicial revenue, why isn't it going into a beginning balance for the next year so that we have money? If we had 200,
well, what we have done, what we have done, we'll make that as transparent as it can possibly be, because it has its own fund now. We're in compliance with Missouri law now, and we'll be able to track every penny of it. And I believe, in answer to your question, although I was not here when that occurred and when it was set up, that the ballot language itself allowed the county commission and or whomever it was that was approving those expenditures to spend it either on the reduction of the jail bond and or law enforcement facilities expense. So my guess is that's where the monies went on an annual basis. We're so tight right now at the end of this year, our estimates are from our budget time, we're probably going to be $50,000-$75,000 short of the sales tax being able to cover what the jail bond payment was. If that's my best recollection. May not be, but it's going to be very close.
Because I knew we had $200,000 left last year, and that should have been brought over and put into a beginning balance this year.
$200,000 left in what?
Of the amount of revenue that we haven't expended.
Donna,
from the sales tax. And I'm not sure of any of these numbers. This is just information I've been looking at and I had questions about. If we're getting X number of dollars in sales tax, I would certainly think that we would want to set all of that aside to make sure we get our bond payment first before we expend it on anything else. And, of course, you guys have to decide the management practices for the county, and I do appreciate that we are setting up a way to track the revenue in the future so we can see exactly where that money's coming in and exactly where it's going out, because that was an issue for me in the past, not knowing how that money's being dispensed. But I think if we look back over the years, I think some of that money possibly shouldn't have been used for other things, but set aside and gone back into a beginning balance so that we have it there to pay our bonds.
Well, I'm not insinuating that, because, again, I know the ballot language and I know that the county commission and the budget officer have the ability to spend that on law enforcement facility, whether it be utilities, whether it be anything in that building that was related to that law enforcement facility. But I do know now that it's completely transparent. Every penny of the sales tax will go into the special fund, and any interest that it earns will go into that fund and stay in that fund. So,
I guess my issue was we've been taking it from general county revenue since the beginning of this bond. I didn't see why we were changing it unless we had...
Let me be okay. As clear as I can be, because the law tells us that that's what we're supposed to do. It's very clear. We're not supposed to put it in general county revenue.
I don't disagree with that. I wondered why we ever did it in the first place.
I don't have the answer, but we did. And I think that probably the answer would be that they had to make the bond payment. And their best thinking was that if it was lumped in with general county revenue, there would always be funds available in that melting pot of revenues. That's my guess. So that, in fact, they didn't have to do what we had to do on March 11th. That's my guess.
I don't mean to play devil's advocate, but again, I guess if we did an audit of all the revenues that we have received since the beginning of time, and when payments actually started, how much we could have had saved to make our first payment, I guess that we don't need to look at that, but those were things that were bothering me last night when this whole issue came about.
Those monies that are in the judicial account are not only for the jail bond payment. When we make a budget, we have a very tight schedule that goes into the sheriff's department, the jail operation, the things that those monies can be used for. So that is the reason that they're moved, and that money is all budgeted out through that process. There was a statement in the newspaper that I said there was $200,000, and that's questionable whether I made that statement or not. But there is monies that go for the bond in years past, and there has been a small surplus on top of that, which was used for the jail electricity or whatever goes. That's the reason it was separated, utilities, whatever.
The two biggest payments out of that fund are the bond payment and TIF payments. Those eat up most of that, you know, and I did a spreadsheet for you guys last fall so you could see that. You knew that this was coming.
Right.
It's not anything surprise. We do know that those money.
As a matter of fact, we talked about it during budget time
on
more than one occasion.
It would be irresponsible for us not to look for, as we had a meeting last week with Jack Dillingham, to look for ways to save the county money. And us as county leaders and county commissioners and you as elected officials need to be looking at the best process that we could possibly can to save the tax dollars. That's exactly what we did. And I was surprised at the ridiculous article that was written.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to talk about the article or any of that. I just had questions myself when I start being questioned about things, because it is my responsibility to provide documents for public service requests. And when somebody starts asking for these documents and I start looking at them, then of course I have questions myself. And one of the things that I did remember, and Danny, you were there, and I was there, when the commissioners would go out and were trying to sell, not necessarily sell, but we were doing educational demonstrations to the public, educational demonstrations to the public on why they should support the judicial bond on the ballot. And one of the things that the voters were asking us is how come we weren't using the sewer money, because they had already voted to use that for the building. And at that time, the commission was saying, well, we want to keep that for the sewer department, and that's why we're coming out and asking you for this. So, I mean, those are just thoughts that ran through my mind, because I did remember those conversations. The voters had questions about it. And
there was a total package, though, we were looking at. The sewer monies that we just got through spending a $27 million bond issue on the city of Branson depleted the sewer tax to the point that we didn't want to use that money out of there, so they come out of GCR. Those three available components to bring that money out of as a revenue resource was a judgment call made by the county commission. As we look back this year, and as Ron has mentioned about it, the tight budget and everything, and we inquired different ways to save the county money, we reviewed what the ballot language was and even had an opinion on what the ballot language was, and in that case we made the decision.
Well, even at that, Dan, and I know where you're headed, the same question is true for any fund that we transfer it from that it wasn't budgeted within for that payment. So we have the same issue if we transfer it from GCR. We have the same issue if we'd have transferred it from Road and Bridge. We transferred it from the fund that had multi-millions of dollars sitting there. So it was in the county's best interest to make that transfer from that. That was the discussion we had that morning when we made the decision to do it. But Rick, thank you for your comments.
You have enlightened
me on the process, and that's why we had asked the question. We wanted to be certain we were headed in the right direction, and I appreciate that. Appreciate your comments, Donna.
Thank you.
If we have commission comments next Monday, if we want to bring up specific issues, but unless you guys have something else with accounts payable, Dan, Brandon, no.
Thank you.
There is one thing I do have. There was, and I think this applies to you too, Rick, as far as review. When we ask for documentation on a bill that's been sent to us and we turn the check down, the next week, I don't want to see that come through unless we have the documentation that we requested. We can come through, but we end up reviewing it several times, and what happens is sometimes it'll get through because it'll be from the same people or the same company or something that we have already refused it from because we didn't have documentation. So those are things that we would like to maybe implement or take a close look at it once we have not rejected, but asked for more information, more documentation on an issue of payment to a certain person or whatever, then I would like for it not to come through regularly.
Dan, I'll be glad to do it however you want. I do think that maybe the part that you're talking about, you guys need to have a policy so we understand what you're doing. I mean, we right now are not sure which ones you approve, which ones you don't, unless we listen real closely. Me, when I say we, I'm in my office, maybe Melanie's office, so we want those policies set.
Do you not get a copy of what we approve and don't approve? Of a morning when we sign three of those? You may not. I don't know where they go.
I think it stays right on there, and so it comes. It will get here, but
we sign additional copies so the offices
okay.
get them. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Joanna pulls it. She keeps it.
Well, I know she gets it, but I don't.
It says on there which ones we did not approve, which ones we do approve.
Well, and so that's a good policy to have right there. You know, and if you want, one of the things when a check is not approved, I think it's important that we go ahead and tell the office holder or the administration that asked for that check that they need to know it was not approved and why it was not approved so they can get that rectified. And I don't know whether that should be our responsibility. What I have made a commitment myself that when I know of one that's not approved, I'm going to let the department know. But I think you guys could have a policy about that would make things clearer, too.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't mean to volunteer Stacy, but if someone in my office is sitting over here, you can certainly ask them to help you get that information out.
Thank you.
Thank you for answering some of my questions today. I really appreciate it.
Sheila, while we're on accounts payable, would you like to chat with us?
Yes.
Why don't you have a chair and join us?
If you don't approve a check, do you notify the office holder or the reason why it's not approved?
I thought that we were doing that.
Okay. You're not.
You're referring to?
The check and payment for out of the tax maintenance fund to pay for the attorney.
At budget time, when we had discussions with you, and I asked you specifically what $50,000 was in the budget, you mentioned to me that that was for attorney's costs.
Yes.
The county at the end of 2012, I don't think the last month, but up to then, was paying around $1,000 or $1,500 upon your signature and approval, and we paid those until it was brought to our attention that we reached a bidding level that should be bid. Once we found that that was being utilized to pay your personal attorney regarding the issue of the distribution of railroad and utility sales tax, we said no. Until, in fact, we get an opinion from you regarding the fact that the county could spend the tax maintenance fund, which is also known as the technology fund, for council. And if I'm not mistaken, those bills are already somewhere around $12,000, $15,000.
You have never asked me for an opinion in regard to it. The state auditor's office, I'm sorry.
We did that at budget time.
You asked me for an opinion to say that? I do not remember that, sir. I do not think I was ever asked for an opinion to go if I was or made aware that I need an opinion.
The answer when I brought that to your attention was, this is what they did in Cole County.
And you asked me if it was acceptable for that to be paid out, to pay attorney fees out of the tax maintenance fund.
We were talking about retention of counsel, and you asked at the same time if you could retain your own counsel, and we said you can retain whomever you want.
And for the collector's office. Mm-hmm.
Well, our thoughts were that was your personal attorney.
You asked me if it was, and I told you it was for the collector's office and in turn in the best benefit of the county.
Well, I don't recollect that. So here we are. What we'd like to have is an opinion that states the tax maintenance fund can be utilized to fund your personal attorney regarding these issues while you're in court. If we have an opinion that we feel comfortable with, we'll pay the bills immediately. That's my intention. These gentlemen have to speak for themselves.
Okay. I was under the opinion that you were to get a legal opinion that you had a right to withhold payment of the tax maintenance fund. That's what I was told by the state auditor's office, that they had advised you that if you were going to hold a check out of the tax maintenance fund, that you should have a legal opinion as to the reason why. Now, you're saying that you want me to get a legal opinion.
We asked those same state auditors if anything would be coming out of this, and they said that they had spoke with you. And when they brought up the bond, that you had let them know that two of the schools had already brought suit against your bond and that that didn't produce any fruit. In talking to the schools, we can't find where any school has actually filed suit against your bond.
One school filed twice, and they got their answer, and then they filed with another bonding company, and they got their answer on that.
Okay.
And you won't... Instead of doing what I was told, that the state auditor told you that you need to hold the check, that you should have a legal opinion is what gave you the authority to, then you're saying that instead you'd like for me to give you a legal opinion as what gives me the authority to pay attorney fees out of the tax maintenance fund?
Let me help you a little further. The state auditor hasn't made any such statements to me or to this commission, to the best of my knowledge. Mm-hmm.
When you ask them to look into the tax maintenance fund.
I just answered you, Sheila. Mm-hmm. If you will acquire an opinion that satisfies this county commission, I will vote to approve spending taxpayer dollars on your personal attorney bills.
Okay. Well, I was told by the attorney's office not to worry about it, that they would handle it. But
let me ask you a further question.
Yes.
Is there an agreement by and between the county commission and the attorney or the law firm that you have been working with?
The state auditor's office has seen that agreement. It's binding between the collector's office and them because that's what the case involves. And when I sent you, and sir, a while ago, when you said you didn't remember saying what you did, that's in writing. And the state auditor's office has went over the agreement. They went over the method of the way that they were hired. And I felt that you were probably aware of that. And
no, we're not aware of that. What we're aware of is that Missouri law says all contracts shall be executed in the name of the county or in the name of the township of the county with a township form of government by the head of the department or officer concerned, except contracts for the purchase of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. I ask you, like you said a while ago, if in regard to hiring this law firm, I was first told to talk to the county counselor and to get to see if they agreed. So I thought that was Frank Cotty. I called him, and he told me it made perfectly good sense to hire a firm that had experience in dealing with this, but he was not the county counselor, so he could not give me any opinion. So I sent the email to the county commission, as I'm sure you remember, and asked about hiring the attorney. And the response back is your understanding that the tax maintenance fund was at my discretion to spend for, and up to me to hire that, to what I did with that. On that, I thanked you. You replied back, you are referring for your own personal attorney and not the county. And I said, sir, I'm referring for the collector's office and in turn would be in the best interest of the county.
It's pretty simple from my perspective. If you'll provide an opinion, I will approve the checks that are outstanding and the invoices that have come forth that's satisfactory to this commission, that it is legal for us to allow you to spend county taxpayer dollars to defend yourself in this suit.
Sir, you're defending the collector in the collector's office due to
a
computer error.
I'm not defending the
collector. No. What is being defended is trying to make a solution, an error that came from the from a computer program on the disbursement of funds. It's not defending the, it's defending what happened in the collector's office in the action as collector. Nothing profited for the collector in any way. Simply to redistribute the funds where two schools got money that did not belong to them that should go to the other schools. And it's defending the action to help these schools to do what is right. The people should have what was distributed in error, and is defending that action of the collector's office. But we don't need to. It's not going to be solved here. We don't need to.
All
it's just that it's holding
what, all
up.
All we need is what we've requested.
That's fine. I wished you would have let me know that you were holding the check and you wanted it and what you wanted. And I feel that this is holding up.
Did you not know that we were holding the check?
I didn't know the check. Nothing was said to me, and I went to the auditor's office on another issue, and he casually mentioned it, and I said, what? I said, they can't do that. I won't even go into that conversation, but that's, and so the time went. I never heard anything on it, never heard anything from it, never heard anything from the law firm, so I assumed that you just held it for a week or so. I didn't know why, but you never said anything to me. And I heard nothing until I was at a meeting 2 or 3 weeks ago and was shared by another elected official in regard to it. And I said, you're kidding. I said, they're holding that check. And they said, well, we thought you knew it. And I said, no, I assumed it was paid and everything because I had not heard anything from the law firm. Then I got a delinquent notice last week, I believe it was, that was for November payment that check was for the law firm. Okay.
What's the amount of the legal fees that have been credited thus far?
You would have it right there in the line item. I didn't bring it in my hand.
I don't have that here.
I didn't even plan on coming down, but when you made the statement that the official, that they were notified when you rejected a check with the reason and the documentation didn't come forth.
So I said I thought that was my understanding. That's
no, I was never given anything that you wanted that the check was being held or documentation. Thank you.
Dan,
I think
you, Brandon, have something? No? Yes? No? Thank you.
Okay.
Gentlemen, our next order of business is with counsel.
Move to go to executive session pursuant to section 610.021, subsection 1, 2, 3, and 12.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to move into executive session pursuant to section 610.021, subsection 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Brandon aye.
Danny aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. We'll stand in executive session.